So as we said, TJ is going to be speaking on step 10, which is continue to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So TJ, we want to hear what you have to say about that.
Good evening, everybody. My name's TJ, and I'm an alcoholic. When they said I was speaking again, I said, God, again? I'm tired of hearing this guy. Jeez. So we're going to talk about step 10. And by now, some of those promises probably have been coming true in your life. Even though you may not realize it. And I know for me, I didn't go back and look and see if those promises were coming true the first time I went through the steps. Probably second time I went through the steps, or any of the times I went through the steps, until I started to pay attention, I guess. And then I could see personally how all those promises had come true in my life somewhere along the line. When they did, I really couldn't tell you. I don't know. So, the key to understanding step 10 is the word continued. It says continued. You know, after working the first 9 steps, there's nothing new. You've already done all the really hard work, and now comes the really tough stuff, if that makes any sense. But really, all continued means is we're going to continue to work what we've already done. We're just going to keep practicing steps 4 through 9 on a daily basis. Anybody have any questions? I'm done. Just kidding. The big book says, this is not an overnight matter. It should continue for a lifetime. Watching for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment. When they crop up, we ask God to remove them. We discuss them with someone else, make amends quickly, then we turn our attentions to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. We have ceased fighting. When does that happen again? And honestly, really, I had a hard time with this ceased fighting. To this day, there are times when I want to fight this thing tooth and nail. I have never done anything the easy way. It always seems like I've got to do it the hard way. You know. Someone suggested one time that I go get golf lessons and said, God, no, I've taught myself everything I know. And they said, yeah, that's pretty evident. And the truth of it is, and then I think about that and think, boy, I should go out and get golf lessons. But then I've seen other people. You know, I've probably seen 2 or 3 guys in my entire life go out and get golf lessons that struggle afterwards. So what am I going to do? I'm going to focus on that. I don't focus on the 99 other people that have gone out and got lessons and did really well. I focus on the negative. But this is a positive program. Okay, this is supposed to be looking at the positive sides of life. And where do I gravitate to? The negative side. The So I still struggle with this ceased fighting. I still like to fight. The big book talks about the three dimensions of life. The spiritual, the mental, and the physical. Now, first time I saw a flyer, I guess. And it had this target in it. And the target showed the spiritual right in the center. And then outside of that, it had another circle and it said the mental side. And then it had the physical. And it had written in the spiritual, it had steps 1, 2, and 3. And then in the mental, it had 4, 5, 6, 7. And then it had physical 8 and 9. And I went, wow, isn't that nice? It was trying to prove a point that I obviously wasn't getting at first. And that is, and it's really plain, and really plain for me to see today, is that sobriety, recovery, is an inside job. It doesn't start from outside and go in. It starts from inside and goes out. And it starts with the spirituality of the program. And then it goes on to the mental part. And then it goes to the physical. And when we're talking about physical, we mean everything else basically in life. Once you get past all of those three dimensions, then Bill starts talking about that fourth dimension. And I kept thinking to myself, I don't understand what this fourth dimension is. And I couldn't explain it in a million years. The thing, though, is that the mental health, which is kind of the second ring, is based on our spiritual life. Our physical lives emanate from the mind. So we grow from inside outward. So when we feel something uncomfortable, we can analyze it right away, and then we can work our way through it. That's what step 10 is all about, is continuing to take personal inventory and continuing to do steps 4 through 9 on a daily basis. This is going way too fast. It leaves way too many questions out there. Oh, and by the way, there is a new rule. If you are a Yankee fan, you are not allowed to ask questions. Don't shake your head at me like that. Okay, so when working the 10th step, it is so easy, especially for me, to fall back into my old ideas. As soon as I say, or as soon as I think, I have a resentment, or a fear, or whatever, okay? The first thing I think about is, look what that SOB just did. Or, oh man, that's not my fault. That is their fault. Look what they just did to me. It's not fair. They overcharged me something. It's not fair. And I'm pissed. Okay? So the first thing that I think about is that negative part. And I realize I have now turned my will in my life that I said I was going to turn over to my higher power. I've taken it all back. So my spiritual life has now gone down the tubes. Which means my thinking, my mental life, has now gone down the tubes. And remember, if you recall in the steps before, if what I think of myself is exactly what I become. So the first thing that goes is my spiritual life. The second thing that goes is my mental life. And the third thing, right off the bat, is my physical life. So those are the three things that I have to take care of constantly. In the book, The Steps We Took, it talks about hoping that as I go through my day, and as I go through my day and I look at things and something crops up that makes me very uncomfortable, I can look at it, I can analyze it, and my first thought used to be, God, I hope this isn't my fault. Because if it's my fault, I have to make an amends to it. I have to go and tell somebody I'm sorry. Again. And I have to look at that and I have to work on something. But the Joe and Charlie, or the Joe McHugh book said, God, I hope whatever it is, I hope it's my fault. Because if it's my fault, I can do something about it. Because see, if it isn't my fault, I can't do anything about it. It's not my concern. And I thought, no! That's ridiculous. But the longer I work these 12 steps, the more I realize that that's exactly what I hope for. I hope whatever is going on, especially if a cat's walking in front of my... I know he's going to turn any second now. Yep. So I know today for me is that whatever, when I get that uncomfortable feeling that I'm not enjoying what's going on around me, that I know something is up, something is not okay, for God's sake, I hope it's my fault. Because now I have the opportunity and the ability to do something about it. The key thing is we have to detect it early. Okay? The only way to detect it early is if we practice this step constantly. Now, I'm not exactly sure where this comes from, but I have heard lots of people talk about at night, before I go to bed, I do my 10th step. Where the hell did you read that at? The big book doesn't say that. Nowhere in the big book does it say, when I go to bed, that's what I'm going to do. Now, I've seen worksheets that say at the end of your day, maybe you want to fill this out. And that's good practice. But my understanding of the 10th step is, when my feet hit the floor in the morning, I should begin practicing my 10th step. And when I lay my head down at night on the pillow, I'm done with my 10th step anyway. I can't remember, I think it's in the Steps We Took book that says something to the effect of, not once have I ever caused resentment while I was sleeping. Now, maybe I have and I didn't know it, I suppose it's possible. But so to me, the 10th step needs to be done from the time I wake up in the morning until the time I go to bed at night. I need to take a look at myself constantly. And I know those uncomfortable feelings that happen to me And I know today what to do about them. Now, the big thing is we have to practice this. Do I get it right all the time? No, absolutely not. Why do you think they have meetings? If, you know, if I did this 100% all the time, I wouldn't need to go to meetings. But I still need to go to meetings because I'm still practicing this. It has to become a habit constantly. The main thing for me is not to let things pile up. So when I first got sober and I started working the steps and I came to step 10, okay, now I'm doing the steps all the time. And then, you know, so I would get that uncomfortable feeling and I knew I was wrong about this, that, or the other thing. And I'd think to myself, okay, I know I need to make amends for this, but I'm going to wait a little bit. And then something else would come up. Well, I know I need to talk to my sponsor about this, but I don't want to bother him. And then something else would come up. And then something else comes up. And then something else comes up. And the next thing you know, I got this great big huge pile of crap that I don't know what to do with. And what happens is that, you know, the wife burns a piece of toast and all of a sudden, kaboom, all this crap comes flying out. And I am pissed off, and I'm so upset, and I say things I shouldn't say, and I do things I shouldn't do, all because I didn't work the 10th step. I didn't take care of this immediately. I didn't call my sponsor. I didn't make amends. I didn't do all the things I was supposed to do. Don't let it pile up. Still to this day, sometimes I let it pile up. And next thing you know, I'm calling my sponsor. Yada, 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 yada. And he's going like, good talk. All because I just let it pile up. And he has no idea what I'm talking about. Don't let it pile up. Take care of it right away. That's what the 10th step says to do. God, it lasted all the way to 6 o'clock. Holy cow. So, unfortunately, that, for me, is step 10.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you, TJ. I can hold it way out here. Hello? Hello? It's still pretty loud.
Is that still loud?
Is that good? That's probably good. All right. Thank you, TJ. So now we have time for questions from our audience here. So if you're here in the room and you have a question for TJ, go ahead and raise your hand and we'll bring you the microphone. Or if you're on Zoom, go ahead and just unmute yourself whenever you have the chance. So
hey everybody, I'm Tony. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Tony.
TJ, when you said the book, big book never says we take step 10 to bed. That's not the nighttime step. And I agree with you fully. It's not what the book says. But I do take it to bed, okay? In the sense that, and I just want your thought on this, during the day when I have to make amends and do that, I do it to the best of my ability quickly and do the other things that the book suggests. If I got to talk, I talk. But I don't really have a time to inventory it during my day to find out why I really acted that way. That's the part I take to bed. And remember, I'm jumping to 11, which we'll get to next week. It talks about the inventory. And that's where I take those things that happen in step 10 to my nighttime routine, number 11, where I really get the inventory. And why did I get upset? Because the toast was burned. You know, that's when I start to break it down. And then I even carry that over to the next day. Okay, let's try not to do that again today, because I still have it fresh in my mind. What are your thoughts on that? And maybe that's where the miscommunication comes in.
And you're probably right. That's probably where the miscommunication comes in. And you can do it that way. I know lots of people that do. My suggestion would be, when it pops up, and you say, well, I don't know how to inventory it and break it all down. That's what you have a sponsor for. To inventory it and break it all down. You don't have to do that by yourself. You can talk to whomever to break it all down. Okay? You don't have to take it. This question has come up a lot, actually. There's a bunch of worksheets in the Joe McHugh books, I think, that talk a lot about this. And they pretty much, I'm sitting back going like, yeah, well, that's when you're going to take it home and you're going to work it all out there. But I think it's a lot easier to do it while it's fresh in my mind. Okay. The other part to that is, the more you do that, especially when you're younger in sobriety, the more you do it, the easier it becomes. And then all of a sudden, it's just automatic. You already know where it's coming from. I'm gonna guess that, you know, I'm gonna guess that you already know where it's coming from. Sometimes we just need help to find it, maybe. But I, as you go along in your sobriety, I think you're going to learn. I think you'll discover where most of this comes from and how to take care of it. Does that answer your question? Sort of?
Sort of, yes.
Thank you. Who else would like to ask a question?
Thanks, TJ. My name's Trevor. I'm an alcoholic. Great job. This and all the steps preceding and forming this in the form of a question. When I did the fourth step and fifth step, my sponsor directed me to the big book and talked about we're doing this important fourth and fifth step. We're doing this important, and we're learning a lifetime process. You know, that implies that at some point we may need to inventory again with pencil and paper, or pen and paper. What part does that play? So here's my question. What part does the actually taking of pencil and paper out again play for you in the 10th step? Thanks.
Okay, so for me today, I do a pencil and paper step 4 when I am taking a new guy through the steps. I was reading in one of the Joe McHugh books, and I don't remember which one it was. It talked a lot about if you have a sponsee now that you have completed the first 9 steps, now they're ready to start sponsoring. And I went, wow, really? And I you know how when you sometimes you go back to the big book and you find out that the big book fairy has been there and he's changed words in there and or he's added some and taken some away or whatever. Well, that happened to me yesterday. Is I read this part that said, now your sponsee should be looking for someone to help. They should be looking for someone to begin taking them through the steps while it's fresh in their minds. And I went, huh, what a great idea. And at that time, then, so that when I'm taking a new guy through the steps so that he understands that I have to do the same thing that he does, okay, I'll do this inventory. And when I do a fifth step with a new guy, I have my fifth step ready to go. Now, it's not going to be anywhere near what he has. I mean, I've done enough of these. I don't have to go back, you know, to when I was a little kid anymore. You know, it's just what's going on today. Make sense?
Hi, my name's Carly and I'm an alcoholic. My question to you, TJ, is I'm relatively new to the program. I think it's like 5 months on the 8th. I keep hearing like, you work this step every day and you know what I mean? And I'm trying to wrap my head around the whole program. I mean, I'm only on step 3. I can't keep track of what I'm working each day. I mean, sometimes it's just second by second. So what's your suggestion? Do I just continue on the steps or like work 11 and 12 every day?
My suggestion for you is keep working the 12 steps. Keep doing what you're doing. Do not try and do something way ahead. Okay?
Okay.
If your sponsor has you on step 3, then you're working on step 3. That's it.
Okay. So I'm not going to fail miserably if I don't practice other ones every day.
No.
Okay, thank you.
Is there anybody on Zoom that would like to ask a question?
You're not a Yankee fan, are you?
No, I don't watch baseball. Hi, I'm Ryan. I'm an alcoholic. So it tells us, this is sometimes happens to me, you know, to promptly admit when we are wrong. Sometimes if I'm too prompt about it, I'll put like a but in there and it'll continue the disagreement or debate. So sometimes I find myself having to completely, you know, cool off.
Backtrack?
Yeah, and forget about it and pause a little bit. Does that ever occur? Or?
Well, the big book does say when agitated, we pause and work it out first. Even if you have to go back and this is kind of what I was saying to Tony. You know, if you're confused about where this is coming from and why this is happening, call your sponsor. Now, I realize not every sponsor in the whole wide world is retired and can pick up the phone whenever they damn well please, but you could give it 24 hours. But don't let it pile up.
Right.
It's god awful when it does.
Yeah. Thank you.
Who else has a question?
Oh, did I forget to say pirate friends weren't allowed to ask questions?
Hi, I'm Jim. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Jim.
Sometimes when we take our inventories and the other person is wrong, we don't shy away from that fact that they're wrong, but we do try to keep the peace sometimes. And we admit we are wrong. Have you ever run into that situation?
Yes. I have. Does that answer your question? There have been moments in my life where I have sat back and said, oh, you're so full of crap, but whatever, it makes it, sometimes it just makes it a lot easier. However, that also, could lend itself to getting yourself into a whole lot of trouble. And I prefer to be honest right up front, unless it's really gonna cause some real major problems. But I prefer that
I don't have to do that. If you know, if you understand what I mean by could cause some problems.
Most of the time that's in the marriage situation, isn't it?
Yes. As a matter of fact, yes, it is.
I just wanted a clarification.
I was taught something by someone who's unfortunately no longer with us. He said to me, "What is wrong with you? Haven't you learned that the answer is yesterday?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Try it. It works." So the answer is yes, dear. Or you may be right, dear. And sometimes I say that with a tinge of venom hanging from my fangs. Yes, dear, you may be right.
So going along what we're talking about, so I'm a little confused. So let me give you an example. Before I got to the meeting here tonight, last night I accidentally left a yardstick by the wall and, you know, on an angle. And my husband told me, "You know what, when I got up last night, I almost killed myself on that." And what I said was, "I'll make sure I don't do that again." I was proud of myself for saying that. When he said, "Yeah, you probably will." So I'm instantly mad. Now, so I don't know, I'm defensive. I've been told I'm really defensive too. So my approach, I thought, was right, but I went to the negative, and I don't know if that's the time I should wait 24 hours and say, you know, I was offended by that, or bring it up right then and there. I don't know about my timing. Uh-oh. It's going to be a pause, babe.
Love and tolerance of others is our code. We have ceased fighting. Sounds to me like you're not ceased fighting.
Okay. I take that from you better than him.
Over here, TJ. Thanks, Dr. Phil. I appreciate your talk tonight. No, I get it, and you know, I'm just under 2 years, but I still have a hell of a time. You know, I'll ask God to take away the resentment. I'll call my sponsor, but something in my head is like, nope, you're still right. You're still right, and I hang on to that. Is it just wait it out, or is there something else you can do to help expedite that process?
Well, if you're going, if you know you're wrong, why do you keep going back to, no, I'm still right? So, I guess I would tell you to write it down on a piece of paper and take a look at it. And go back over it with your sponsor. I mean, I know what you're saying. I have arguments in my head all the time. And usually, first thought wrong for me. So I understand what you're saying, and sometimes I just need to have somebody help me through that, which is what a good sponsor would do for me. Other than that, I have no idea.
No magic
cure. No, no. There's no, you know, that's the thing. There is no pill for this.
Yeah. Who else has a question?
You know, honestly, we can quit early.
Yeah, Thanks, TJ. It's great. And my name's Carolyn. I'm an alcoholic. This gentleman may have already addressed this over here, but the way I read the 10th step is it says, when these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. What I understand you've shared and what's common practice is that the 10th step is a daily inventory. But I've looked at it as when they crop up. I guess maybe it's a little bit of hubris on my part to think that one of those things, selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, isn't going to crop up on a daily basis. But do I understand what you're saying is it's a daily inventory? And it probably crops up, one of those things is going to crop up inevitably every day.
You have to remember we have a daily reprieve contingent upon our spiritual maintenance. In order to have that spiritual maintenance all the time, I have to all the time make sure that there's nothing blocking me from God, which is my character defects, or which are my character defects. So to me, it is a daily thing, but when, just because most of the time, I guess the easiest way for me to describe it is, most of the time, the first thing that happens is I get uncomfortable in my own skin. And now I know there's something not okay. And I have to find that out, whatever that is. Does it happen all the time? No. But it's still a daily thing. I mean, it happens constantly throughout my day. I think because I'm retired now, it doesn't happen as often as it used to. I would get angry at one of my employees at times when I was working. And there have been moments in my life where I have literally lost it and I have gone off on them. And so when that happens, I am so uncomfortable in my own skin, okay, that I have to do something right away. Usually I head for the bathroom, or I used to. I just go to the bathroom and just be by myself and pray and think about what's been going on, okay? And in basically what I was doing was a 10th step and looking at what my part in all of this is. Usually it was because I just went off. I lost it. I let things pile up, and because they did something stupid, I lost it on them. So to me, it's a daily thing that happens all the time for me. I'm not sure I'm answering your question, though.
No, that's a great description. Okay. This is an unreasonable.
Right.
Right.
Who else has a question? Zoom? Anybody on Zoom?
All right, Kevin, I'll let you ask a question.
All right.
This is one Yankee fan rule.
Thanks, TJ. Another nice job. Thanks again. The question that you were saying that when you can't pause when agitated and whatever, and you apply a character defect to a problem, and like you were saying, a work situation where, you know, you're in a position of authority and someone is not doing their job, you may be able to have handled it better, but, you know, you're kind of right in, you know, doing your job that you're paid for. How do you handle your side of the street when you're quote unquote right? And you didn't quite handle it really well, and you know that because you know that immediately after you get a chance to calm down. I mean, what do you apologize for? Being right or
no?
What do you do?
Basically, I would go back and apologize for the way I handled it. Okay. And try to make that right. That isn't always easy to do, but the employee still needs to know that what they did was not okay. Okay, but how I handled it was not okay either.
So should I file a grievance against you, or what do I do?
If I were you, I would. In fact, that'd give me two weeks off. I don't know that I've ever come across that where I'm dealing with a large amount of people, I guess. I mean, we only had a dozen people in my shop.
Well, I'm just saying, say you went off, and I mean, even with a dozen people, do you go back and apologize to, do you call a conference with everybody, all 12 people, and say, I apologize for the way I handled this? Do you just handle it with the individual?
Well, if I went off on all 12 people, yes.
Well, what happens if you did it in front of all 12 people?
That's a good question. I'd have to call my sponsor and find out.
Well, let me call him for you. He's not answering. Wow, who do I call? Human resources? No.
That's actually a very good question, and I'm not sure how I'd answer it. Give me 24 hours, and I'll let you know.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, interesting stuff. But we were talking about pausing throughout the day when agitated or angry. That's 11th step. That's 11th step. It's the same thing we were talking about when we wake up, when we get up in the morning, we've got a few things we do in the morning on awakening. And it says at the end of the day, that's all 11 steps. So 10th step, we're inventorying. sometimes big stuff, sometimes small stuff, sometimes you like, you know, aggregate stuff like you're talking about. And I know for myself how many times this has happened, like in my sobriety, where you're describing a pile of stuff comes up. Is that written, or is that just discussion, or what about like the ones and twos? And I'm talking 10th step, not 11th step. I mean, are we talking written, or just kind of, you know, in the head and maybe calling the sponsor?
Well, really, the 10th step is kind of in your head and not a written thing, at least for me. But when you're first learning how to do this, maybe you need to write it down. And I'd be okay with that. Maybe that's a good way to approach it.
So just to be clear, you're talking about writing something wrong. That would be, you'd be talking about 10th step.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, TJ.